All right. I wanted to get into the word today and, you know, let's explore it. And what I wanted to do is, you know, God led me to this particular topic. And, you know, well, let's start here. I think we've all experienced disappointments. Has anybody ever been disappointed in life? A lot of people haven't. Let's see this again. Has any kind of, oh boy, then you're in for a surprise. You're going to be. You know, I think if you live in this world system, you're going to be disappointed. And we get disappointed because many ways. We get disappointed at work. We get disappointed by family members. We get disappointed by the government. We get disappointed. And then now let's look at it. Sometimes we even get disappointed by God. And that's what we're going to, you know, sometimes, let's look, there could be some people that are disappointed that I'm speaking instead of Pastor Bailey. Why are you laughing, Dottie? Are you one of them? I love you too. But, you know, sometimes we get, you know, disappointed we didn't get the job promotion we wanted. Maybe you're disappointed in the spouse you picked or the spouse you have. Maybe you're disappointed that you don't have a spouse. Maybe you're disappointed in your kids. They're not doing what they want. I mean, what you wanted them to do. Sorry. You know, I think sometimes we get disappointed in some of the purchases we've bought. You know, sometimes we get disappointed on some of the choices we made. Why didn't I go to Bible college? Why didn't I do this or that for church or for God? I missed my opportunity. We get disappointed with ourselves sometimes. So I believe that we all experience a disappointment. And I think sometimes we get disappointed. We come to church or we prayed and we get disappointed because God didn't answer our requests right away or how we thought it should be answered. You know, if we're honest, we get, you know, disappointed. But I think we have to look at God. We have to look at His faithfulness. And what do I mean by His faithfulness? I mean, if I look at the word faithfulness, it's based on God being truthful. We love the word because it's true. Sometimes I don't like what the word says. You know, if I'm honest, sometimes my flesh doesn't like it. You know, I don't want to do it. Sometimes I feel it's too hard. But I like the fact that God's unchanging. He's unmovable. And then the thing is that He's eternal. So when I look at God and His faithfulness, He is faithful to us. To us. His loving kindness. God and His promises. And when I think this way, it all makes sense. But then all of a sudden that disappointment came in. God didn't answer my prayer. It's taking too long. I'm disappointed. Doesn't He know I needed it now? I get disappointed because He said no to me. I mean, isn't He a big loving Father? I mean, I thought I had Him wrapped around my finger. You know, Daddy, I know You love me. You know I need this right now. Sometimes we make a deal with God. You do that for me, and I'll go to church midweek. How's that? You know, great deal. You do it for me, and then I'll go. And, you know, I mean, and a lot of times people think that is the way that they got to move God. You know, I promise I will read an extra 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes, you know, a day. Well, at least 20 minutes a week, you know, and we get in that mentality and the world operates that way. But you know, we've heard this before. God's not always on our time frame. God doesn't move because we cry. You know, I watch little kids sometimes, and when they're trying to get their way, please, you know, they figure if they hold that, you know, a little longer, that it'll, you know, tug on your heartstrings. They give you the eyes, you know, and they do those different things. And what we have to see is, you know, God, you know, sometimes does answer. We get disappointed in the way he does because it's not in our time. It's not in our place. It's not, I don't like how he answered my prayer. I thought of a much easier way. I mean, I laid it out for him. Why didn't he even consider it? Couldn't he see that that would have been the easier way? I mean, come on, it makes sense. You know, but sometimes it's not going to be that cozy, positive way. That kind, loving, it's not going to be pretty. But at times, we are actively experiencing different things in our lives. Growing, maybe a reaping and sowing principle. You know, maybe we're actively not experiencing something. You know, but we don't understand or want to even understand that sometimes it is always about his way. It's not up for discussion. It's been, you know, formulated before you were even could think of it. And God is wonderful. He does get his way. And so what we see is that we never want to, we get disappointed that there's a lesson that I have to learn in this thing that I want. That there's some growth for me, some understanding for me. That there is a way that I'm going to grow and it's going to be fruitful for the others around me. Sometimes you are going through something and you're disappointed or you're holding on and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you can't understand why. It's like, God, I've been going to church. I'm doing the right things. You know, pretty much, I've turned around quite a bit. Why do I have to wait on this? And there are times that some of the things that we go through are not always just for you. They're for others. They're for others. And, you know, and sometimes it's there to make a point. The world likes to do whatever they want. You know, that's a spirit note. Whatever you want. And it's not a sin if you like it. It's not a sin just because God says so. It feels right to me. That goes with everything from all kind of immoral sexual sins to all kinds of addiction. There's nothing wrong if I want to go out and waste $200 a week gambling. My money, I work for it. I don't have to answer to anybody. God's been saying, but you keep going on Sunday. You're missing church. You're not giving. You're wasting your money. And you don't realize that you're getting sucked in and sucked in and sucked in. So we get disappointed. I mean, how many times do kids get so disappointed? You know, they act like they're going to die because you said no and they can't have that ice cream before dinner. I mean, sometimes we see some of our, you know, actors and actresses that deserve an award there. What's the Grammy? You know, so we have to see these things. So sometimes we think that God will smooth it all out. I made this mess and I get disappointed because I thought God was just going to smooth it all out. And he says, I am going to. But we get disappointed because we hoped while we went to bed and sleep that everything got smoothed out just nice and smooth. We didn't have to do anything. We woke up and it's not all smooth. And he'll take care of everything. Now, you know, there's been times that I've heard that, you know, people turn around and say, well, he loves us unconditionally, right? He loves everybody. except for those big bad sinners. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And while we are doing that, you know, we have to see that God is an understanding God. He understands our weaknesses, our temptations. He understands the world. He understands heaven. He understands hell. He understands, all the things that are going on. So let's start at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. I like that. He is God. Sometimes we have to be reminded. We just kind of say God and we just say it so fast and God, why don't you do this? And if you stop and realize he is God. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And he repays them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hate him, and he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. So a lot of times we're just having a little temper tantrum when we look at some of these disappointments. Now some can say, you know, wait a minute, Pastor Mike, this really was disappointing. You know, I brought my, brother to church, and I was hoping so much that he would get saved, and he didn't. Tell me how I'm not supposed to be disappointed. And I would say, you're right. But now, what are you going to do with that disappointment? Because Satan has been using disappointment all the time. I mean, sometimes we get disappointed. The pastor didn't do this or that I suggested. We get disappointed that, you know, you asked the worship team to sing this song and they didn't do it. You're disappointed. You know, yeah. Next time when we give you a request, we need to take it. We want you to take it. What more do we have to do? Now we're singing from the pulpit. No. But I think, you know, what we have to understand here is these emotions are going to run through all of us. But when we understand that, like, for example, the worship team may be just listening to God and doing what God wanted them to do versus you. Maybe it's to teach you patience. Maybe they're learning something. And, you know, sometimes we have to learn that not everything is about me, my way, my style. It's not always about when I want it now. I mean, if we look in family lives between husbands and wives and children, you know, it's not always each kid wants it their way, and the husband and wife each wants it their way. And isn't that one of the problems? That's why we need a godly family, so that God's the referee and always reminding them through the Holy Spirit that this marriage and this family is not about pleasing each other. I mean, not pleasing yourself, but each other. And, you know, you got to submit to God. Because it really isn't, family can be supernatural. I mean, put people together and ask them to live humbly, peacefully, loving, and, you know, be kind and loving and supportive. And it's like, do you know how that brother of mine behaves? I mean, even as adults, we get, you know, hung up with family relationships. My brother, for 40 years, he's been on my back. You know, you turn around and, you know, it's like, yes, I got to go home to the wife. And the wife is saying the same thing. We get disappointed on how people react to us. And yet the Word of God tells everything we do, do unto the Lord. So you're in that marriage. It's not for what's going to be happening for you. It should be how you are going to do your job as a husband and wife unto the Lord. Then you won't be so disappointed. Same thing. I want my kids to be the best kids. I want to be able to go stand up and tell everybody how my kids, you know, made me breakfast in bed, then put me in a chauffeur limousine and went to the day spa, and then I was put on a cruise ship for, 3 weeks, and then I, you know, came back, and I'm disappointed. That isn't what I got for Mother's Day. Or any day. In fact, they came to me and they needed money and I had to give them money. Disappointed. But yet, what we have to see, it's always about what I want, when I want it, and that brings you all this unhappiness. And even sometimes there are many people that will get mad at God because you didn't do it my way and I'm disappointed. I'm not going to church this week. Maybe not for a couple of weeks. I'm just too hurt, God. And it's kind of like God goes, I think I'm going to have to put you in the corner. Go to your room and think about what you just said. And you know, we don't like that either. You don't love me. I mean, you know, we have to look at this. You know, there are times that we're not content. We're discontented. Not contented. I wanted something more exciting. You know, I've lost my courage. You know, I'm not comforted. You know, I'm even experienced discord. You know, when I think of some of, and people say, well, you know, Christians can't be disappointed. Should be. Maybe I'll say you shouldn't be, but they are. I mean, I'm thinking of these disciples. You know, they were disappointed many times. How come there wasn't a bigger crowd? How come more people aren't following Jesus? How come Jesus didn't take himself off that cross? Why didn't he perform a miracle? Disappointed. He was crucified this morning. I mean, we lost. He's dead. He's in the grave. They're out hunting us. I mean, when we think of like Jonah was disappointed. God knew how he felt and asking me to go where? To help who? I think they deserve what they're gonna get. He was disappointed. Oh, and then when they all repented and they turned their lives around, here he is sitting watching and hoping that they're gonna screw it up and, you know, get it all wrong. And then God shields him with that gourd and puts the worm in, takes it away, and disappointed. He learns it's not his way. You know, so when we think of these things, there's sometimes we struggle with God's plan. We struggle because it's his plan versus my plan. And I know what's best for me. How many times have you heard that at work and in people and family? Maybe even coming out of your own mouth. You know, sometimes our expectations, it's our expectation versus his expectations. The Lord is expecting us to walk worthy of the grace that we've been given, to walk worthy of the new life that he's given us. Sometimes our expectation is that I'll be blessed and blessed and blessed. I can have everything that I want and still throw God in there, you know, once a week, you know. I mean, that's what the world likes now, just once a week. In fact, they love the new electronic age. I go out all weekend and pick it up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday online, and I got my quota in. I fit God in the week, download a sermon. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but watch the attitude. Watch what's going on. And so we see that. And then there's a part, it's, you know, we don't see it sometimes, but we come up with an entitlement. Hey, I've been saved 10 years. I've been going to church, you know, 15 years. Twice a week. Three times a week. Hey, I went to Bible college. You know, we look at that, and then we forget the purpose. We gotta understand God has a plan and a purpose for this world and for each and every one of us. But sometimes I don't like the purpose because it gets in the way. And sometimes I can't see. You know, but also, I've never known anybody who likes growing pains because they're painful at times. Now, we like when we grow. You know, kid likes growing, but they don't like it when their bones are hurting because they're being stretched. They don't like that they can't have the old little child way, and yet they can, you know, I like being big, but I don't like now that I'm big that I get to take out the garbage. I don't like now that I can do chores, but I want to be treated like a big kid. And sometimes as an adult, it's not much different. I don't want to take out the trash. I asked you 3 days ago, take out the trash. Honey, I need some laundry done. You know, you could do it yourself, push the button. You know, we have to look at these things. Growing pains. So we have to see these things. And, you know, so I think a lot of times we don't ever want to say we're disappointed in God, but we are. Our behavior is showing it. And, but we have to understand the mission of God. Because we can get disappointed in God's mission. I mean, Jonah was. He was disappointed. Like, I don't mind going where you want me to go. I don't mind doing what you want me to do. But I'm really disappointed in your choice. You know, the expectations. You know, let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, and we're going to start at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in you. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected him the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty and freedom of the children of God. And we can go on, but I just wanted to look at this because we also have to see that, you know, God is there. And when I look at Philippians 1, 20 and 21 there, you know, for me to live is Christ. All right? So that's what it is. I'm supposed to live for not me, but for Christ. And when you're doing that, you won't experiencing all these negatives that Satan loves. Satan loves us because when we hold on to that disappointment, it can turn into bitterness. And that bitterness will, you know, destroy us. And it's like a weed. It'll keep growing. You ever notice how sometimes you go out one day and look in your yard and say, I should have pulled that weed. And then you go out the next morning, it seems like overnight it grew a foot. And you go, when I get out of work today, I gotta pull that weed. And then you go, it's actually now 2 feet tall. It's gonna keep growing. What we see here is that there's freedom. There is grace to overcome. There is power through the Holy Spirit to set you free. And that's why the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. Because some of us feel like, I don't know how to get out of this. I'm just feeling so negative. I'm so hurt. I'm so messed up. I'm just, blah. I'm disappointed. What he or she said to me hurt. Disappointed. I'm right. And you may be right. There are times that you may be right. I mean, God's right on everything he says and does. But there are times we don't follow. There are times you gave instructions to your family and they didn't do it and you're disappointed because they missed out on the blessing. I mean, how many times in family or even teaching school, I remember teaching Sunday school and public school as well, and you give the kids an instruction. If you do this, then we can go out and play. And they didn't do it. And you have to say, no recess. I'm actually disappointed sometimes because, man, I needed the break. And they need to burn off that energy. But also, they lost. And you don't want that for them. Same thing with God. Same thing. You know, but a lot of times we don't feel we can. We don't think we have it in us. Well, let me remind you, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you've got it in you. It's just whether you're going to have the right thinking. Who are you putting your trust in? Yourself? I'm my own worst enemy. I've screwed up more things in my own life. Just with my mind. Never mind, it's not that I'm locked up in prison and can't do anything. There are many times that because of my attitude, my frustration, me whining to myself over and over, I go to bed, I can't sleep because I'm going over what he said, what she said, what happened, how come I didn't have this happen? I thought I had that job. I thought I thought she was going to, you know, go out with me. And she said no. You know, I thought he was going to, you know, come and you know, we were going to go out and play some, you know, golf or football, and we get disappointed. We get disappointed that someone didn't choose to come to you and get help, that they went back to the bottle of booze. We get disappointed. But it's the attitude of when you surrender to God, that you realize that God is on the throne, that God is there, and it tells us that we need to come in confidence, in boldness before the throne of God. And if we understand God and we understand the Lord and we understand our salvation is that he paid for it, if we understand that the Holy Spirit's in us and he's sealed in us and he's never going to leave us, he's not going to forsake us, that I have it, the problem is me. I've got to surrender, let go. And that's one of the things I like when, you know, we really start to get in praise. And this is no way a guilt thing. But sometimes I love when we raise our hands because it's the same thing when the police say, surrender, put your hands up. You know, you can't really do much with your hands up. And I love that sometimes. I think, Lord, it's not about me. I got to praise you. And, you know, it's just little things like that. Now, you know, I don't have to do that. It is not a bondage thing. We live in grace. But there are times it's like, Lord, I'm going to stop fighting you. You know, I gave it to you. I'm going to trust you, know what to do. You know the beginning and the end. You know me. You know my good side. You know my bad side. You knew me in my mother's womb. You know, I got to go on. So a lot of times in hyper-spiritual thinking, it's like, well, I believe, so it's got to happen. My plan, my way. And it's just like when the kid turns around and you know, tries to argue with mom or dad. I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And then you see the mother rise up and get to them and say, no, you're not. You know, you go, well, maybe I'm not. You know, and then we turn around and say, but wait a minute, God gives gifts. He answers prayer. I mean, there are sermons, it's like, just have faith. Give it to God. Well, that's all right. Well, I'm disappointed. It is right. He does give gifts. He does bless his children. He does answer prayer. But we've got to remember, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. You know, isn't it interesting? You tell a kid, after dinner, you can have the ice cream and cookies. Now he has the yes that he wanted, but he's still disappointed because he didn't get it in his time and his way. And what we see is there are times my past makes me think that I'm not entitled. That's why. It's because I was so bad, so unbelieving. I was such a, you know, disobedient unbeliever. It doesn't mean that you were a murderer, you know, but you can say, I mocked you. That's why you're not answering. And you get disappointed with yourself. You know, there are times, you know, we can look at the plans and the deals that we made with God, and we broke the deal before he, you know, even answered. I promise you, Lord, I'll pray every morning, and then you realize I haven't prayed for 3 mornings. No wonder he's not answering. You broke it, not God, and you get even more disappointed with yourself. But I think what we need to see is God also uses these failures. He uses these disappointments because in them, there are times when we have to see the real truths of the world, the real truths of my own wickedness, my own flesh. I mean, there are times there are some people that are so proud of themselves. Look at their accomplishments. The world is so deceptive. They give you an award. They give you a bonus. You know, they, you know, have big banquets for you. Oh, he's such a great employee. Oh, that, you know, and we're like, hey, I am so good, so why isn't God answering? You know, hey, I'm a deacon. I'm a pastor. Why isn't God answering my way? Why should I be disappointed? Why has he disappointed me? You know, we have to look. You know, in my life, I've had many things that I could be very disappointed. But after, sometimes I didn't see it right in the middle. I want to be honest. I didn't see it right in the beginning. You know, when I had a stroke, when I was 20 years old and I had a stroke, I couldn't understand. I was a Christian. I was trying. I was in school. I had plans to get married. I mean, I was disappointed that God allowed this to happen. And it took me a while to see all the blessings that came from that. Oh, I'm still alive, which they didn't think that I was going to, because when I had it, I was so stubborn I didn't go to the hospital for a while. But then I saw the blessing was I got to get married. I got closer to my wife, closer to God. I was able to spend time with her, and got to spend time in the ministry. As I got better, I got to spend time with Pastor Reland every day. I went with him on classes and helped him, you know, went with him every day to visitation and counseling. I got a one-on-one personal training by pastors. I got to be there for when my daughter was sick and needed all these surgeries. You know, when I turned around and I see the different things that happen. I mean, when, through no fault of our own, when a crime was committed on us and we were going to lose our house and still have to pay for it, and live out in the streets, God showed me that he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to live, that somehow he'll take care of it. And, you know, when we look at these different things, when I think of, you know, I get disappointed. I was really disappointed. Years ago, I don't have enough health issues, but when I fell and broke, you know, both bones in the elbow and the wrist and the foot, and I couldn't walk and couldn't use crutches, couldn't use a wheelchair, I couldn't go into prison. And I was like, God, I don't understand. Why aren't you healing me? This doesn't make sense. You know, I've got a church there and people are, you know, want to hear the word of God and I can't go in. Nobody can go in at this moment. What's going on? You know, Lord, Walpole, those men are locked up and they need to hear the word. I got guys waiting for them to get a Bible. I got a list right on my desk that says, go give this one a Bible. He's waiting. And he's been waiting a month, waiting 2 months. I mean, God, come on. Then I got back to work months later. I'll never forget some of the inmates turned around and we were talking and, you know, and they said, we missed you immensely. But one of the things that we finally came up with is it was a blessing in disguise because we had to turn and use all the things that you've been talking about, and we had to grow up, and, you know, the things that we just listened to, we had to put in action. We had to suddenly study the Word to build one another up. We had to suddenly come together and figure out how we're going to preach a little. Who was going to say something? And he said, it caused us to grow. And I'm like, God, here I am whining and complaining, but, you know, so what we have to see. You know, there are many times I get disappointed. Lord, I couldn't get into that unit to see these men just to find out. Now here I'm whining in disappointment. I didn't get to go in. And then I find out there was a stabbing right there at the time that I would have been in. It's like, oh God, I'm whining, but yet, thanks. You know, thanks. You know, I've been too close too many times. Thanks. You know, you have to realize that spirit of, I just got to change my attitude. So what I want to say is how do we, what's the antidote for the antidote against disappointment? I think it is that we really have to force ourselves to grow up and do what it says. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. And you know, the Lord will prevail. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will prevail. It teaches that in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. You know, I need to accept God's plan. A lot of times we say that because it's the spiritually correct and politically thing to say. But I'm always hoping I can sway God's mind a little. You know, accept God's plan. You know, when I read in Romans 8:28, it just reminds me, just submit to the plan of God. You got to remember God's promises to us. We've got to, you know, we've got to put God first, not me. Whenever I don't put God first, all these other emotions can come flooding in. When I put God first, I'm usually very happy. And that's why when we look at people in horrible situations, you know, when they're putting God first, when you go into, you know, the third world countries, and I just loved, and a lot of you experienced the same thing, when you go there, how can you, you know, I'm in India, and I'm sitting there, and the orphans are eating on the floor, on a piece of grass, and they, you know, only have one outfit, and no shoes, no toys, no nothing, and barely eating, and they've got such joy. What is it? Because they were putting Jesus first. You know, because then I went that night. I remember that first time. I went that night. And there they were, sitting on the floor, praising the Lord. And I'm going, they're happy. You know, I remember when the three young adults, they were like 11, 12, 13, and they were doing some of the music. I was getting ready to preach, and I was like overwhelmed. And I remember she came up to me, the little girl with the other two kids, and she said, Pastor, why are you sad? Don't be sad for us. We're saved. We got a father. We got a family, the church. Don't be sad. We happy. And I'm like, well, then I cried and I was a mess for a while. But then, you know, I did pull it together and we did have a great service. But I, you know, what we have to understand is we got to change our view of God and have a correct view. We got to see the problem as a problem. We got to see Jesus as the solution. I always tell, so often we focus in on what's wrong. We focus in on what's the disappointing thing in our life. Stop thinking about what you're disappointed on. I'm disappointed that, you know, this person didn't get saved. I'm disappointed that they attacked me in such a way. Stop focusing on that and focus on the solution, Jesus Christ. Spend more time maybe praying for the person than licking your wounds over how they hurt you. You know, we got to learn to remember the scripture. We got to learn to maybe be more faithful in evangelism. It's not about me. It's about them. I mean, I'm thinking how here Jesus is going to be crucified. He's going through the Holy Week. He knows what's going to happen. And yet he's focusing, even through his whole crucifixion. I mean, I'd be so into myself. This hurts so much. God, I'm disappointed you're not taking away the pain. But he didn't think of himself, his pain. What did he do? He kept thinking of us, thinking of the vision. That's why he didn't fail, because he didn't think of himself. He thought of God. He thought of the Father. He thought of pleasing the Father, pleasing, you know, the need for us to get saved. That's what he did. That's the key. You are going to experience all kinds of disappointments, even the saved. But it's what you do with them. I choose not to live in them, give them any credit, whether they're real or not. Some of them are real. I've been waiting 10 years for my mate to get saved. It's disappointing. But you know what? Stop being disappointed and keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Satan loves a disappointed person. Easy to manipulate. Saved or unsaved. Easy to manipulate. Easy to draw away from the body. All right, let's close in prayer here. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much that we don't have to live in negativity. We are not of this world anymore. We are of you. Our home is in heaven for eternity. Our home is with you, the giver of life. You have given us greater grace. We can be a light through all this discouragement. We can be a light, your light. And if anybody here has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you need to make that step. You need to invite Jesus into your life. Surrender. Give him your heart, your mind, your soul. Invite him in. The Holy Spirit will enter in. Ask. Ask Jesus to save you, to take your sins and wash them away with his precious blood. Jesus, come into my life. I am a sinner, but I believe in your love. Your plan, that you will come and take my sins away. Take my sins away. Fill me with your spirit. I want to become a child in your family. If you've prayed this for the first time, just simply acknowledge it. Raise your hand to God. Anybody? Just for a moment, put it up and put it back down. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Lord, there are people here, family, children of you, Lord. Bless us this week as we go forward in your name. Amen.